What's up, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunder Jazz, and I'm here with a word from our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Just head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that is BLEAV50 in all capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome in, everybody, to the newest edition of the Topic Fandom Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger. We are part of the Believe Network, and I'm joined by my co-host. First, we have the heir for the day, Alex Roig. Alex, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Just I had to get through. It took me like 2.5 hours to get through an hour and 15, episode because my HBO Max kept on crashing. Do better, HBO Max. You knew this day was coming. You knew people would be excited. Do better.
Yeah. I'm just gonna say do better, HBO. But we're gonna get into that in a second. We also have another co-host here. Joining us now is the queen that never was, Chelsea. How are you, Chelsea?
Don't call me that.
Okay, so Chelsea's good. Chelsea's
I'm fine.
Yeah, so guys, if you couldn't tell by the references in the beginning, we're here to talk about House of Dragon, man. It premiered last night. As Alex said, there was a lot of crashing issues as people were flooding to HBO Max to try to watch it. Me and Chelsea actually just watched it like 15 minutes ago. We just finished the after the episode, so we got thoughts. We're going to talk about it. I will say that I like Game of Thrones. Like I really enjoy the Game of Thrones series, but like compared to these two, I pale in comparison. So I'm going to kind of toss it to them and let them drive this ship. We'll go ahead and go ladies first. This was a very not a feminine episode, but like very like woman power. Like there was a lot of powerful women in this episode. So we're going to start with the most powerful woman I know, Chelsea. Chelsea, how did you feel about this episode?
I enjoyed it from beginning to end. I don't really have any complaints other than I think you would agree the CGI was a little but not that big of a deal to me at the end of the day.
Yeah,
at least not for the first episode.
Dude.
Dylan thought the first dragon looked really bad.
It wasn't just Syrax. It was literally just Syrax. Like when we saw Meraxes, I guess.
Caraxes.
Caraxes, whatever.
Caraxes.
Yeah, whenever we saw him, like he looked fine, honestly. But like for whatever reason, Syrax, like it looks straight up like a computer program. Like
I think it was just the lighting.
I think it has to do with the color. Like I think we're expecting dragons to be like, darker green, almost blackish, kind of like, what Caraxes is. And Syrax being kind of goldish, yellowish.
Yeah, she's supposed to be gold.
Kind of throws it off a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, that was just like the first thing. I was very excited, like, the first like sweeping shot, like in the sky and the clouds, and then you see the dragon and the dragon rider, and like they're coming through the Red Keep and they're going to the dragon pit. I'm like, that looked awesome. Like I told Chelsea, I was like, all right, this is cinematic. Like this feels like it belongs in a movie. And then they park in the dragon pit, and as soon as I see it, I'm like, that just looks off. Like, and like I told Chelsea, like it is important to address that this is the pilot episode. Like they had to shoot this in order to get greenlit, for the remainder of the show. So maybe the CGI gets better as the show goes on, but who knows.
But not just that, like they said in the beginning of the show, like they said in the intro, they have 10 dragons. Like you have to make room in the budget to probably fit not just 10 dragons, but also dragon fights eventually.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. But I will say, you know, it's not just me. Like, you know, I was the one that brought it to Chelsea's attention. But like, I was like, am I the a-hole out here? Like, am I the only one thinking this? And I looked at Twitter, and there, you know, like, it was a very popular opinion. But I'm not derailing this. Alex, how did you feel to be returning to Westeros?
Oh man, I loved it, man. I love the like you said, the beginning scene that showed the Red Keep, you know, showed the dragon pits. It was kind of a contradiction to what we saw at the end of Game of Thrones, of how, number one, you saw the dragon pits where all the leaders met, and you know, it was kind of decrepit and kind of looked like the
that's what I said too.
The Colosseum. Yeah, well, I mean, kind of like the Colosseum over in Greece, and you know, kind of like broken down. And of course, you know, we know how King's Landing and the Red Keep was kind of completely destroyed at the end of last season. So to see it kind of, I don't know, in a word, rise up from the ashes like a phoenix, you know, just kind of looked really cool. But I really enjoyed the show. I can already tell, like, you know, who the Littlefinger characters are going to be, who the, you know, who the sly, you know, kind of like behind the back kind of characters are going to be. So it was good to see Game of Thrones again. I will say that I don't think that they are looking at this series like a 6 or 7 season series. Because it's just one family, I do think that it's going to be kept to about 3, maybe 4 seasons max.
Hey, that's all well and good. As long as I get to see the Duel of the Dragons, like,
yeah,
I'm good. Like, or maybe it was the Dance of the Dragons. I don't remember exactly what it was called. Dance of the Dragons. Sorry.
Get out of here.
I think Duel of the Dragons might have been a roller coaster at Six Flags or something. But okay. Dueling Dragons. That's actually what it was called. But yeah, no, I'm a casual when it comes to Game of Thrones compared to you guys. Like, I missed the first go-round. Alex, you were there for the go-round. Like, you got to, you know, suffer week to week. Chelsea, like, has watched the series 2-3 times over, has watched countless YouTube videos. Like,
okay, but I still am not, like, I did not read the books, and I will not be doing that. That won't ever be happening.
Well, you don't read, though, so I,
yeah,
it's not just those books, it's any books.
Hey, I'm in the same category. Yeah. I bought the books, and I was like, okay, I'm not a reader, I'm gonna go ahead and, man, I got about 100 pages into the first book, and I was like, man, this shit is long.
Mm-hmm.
This is, oof. This is a lot.
I
read it. Like, so I read the first 100 pages, and then I looked at what I had left. I looked at the other books, and I was like, yeah, let me just watch the series.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen, man. Yeah, it's tough. But, no, I really enjoyed, you know, jumping back into it. Kind of just covering different parts than what you guys have already talked about. The whole tournament scene, like, I thought was like ironically and like funny enough, like that and the brothel scene, like very early in the show, like just brought you right back to Westeros. Like, really, like the first 4 opening scenes was like King Jaehaerys at the Great Council meeting. And so, you know, that brings back the politics of the show. And then you got the sweeping cinematic shot with the dragons and, you know, obviously, like, you know, the dragons and everything. Then the brothel, because Game of Thrones is synonymous with sex. And then the tournament, when in Game of Thrones, if it's not synonymous with sex, it's synonymous with just absolute violence, man. Like,
yeah.
Still, like, you know, I mean, spoilers for Game of Thrones. Like, if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, definitely watch it. But, whenever God, I forgot his freaking name now. Oberyn. Whenever Oberyn and freaking Martell. Mountain were fighting, like that was my first exposure to Game of Thrones because Chelsea was watching it, and I just kind of walked in, and when dude just gouged, like just squeezed his head, like made his head explode. I was like, oh shoot, this show doesn't play around.
It's very graphic.
And like, I mean, Daemon tripping the horse and the joust, the dude just like chopping dude's face with the axe. Like, they went all out with the violence, and like they established, you know, kind of, you know, obviously in a different way, but you know, this is topic fandom. Like, The Boys season 3 episode 1, like, it didn't take 5 minutes for you to remember what type of show The Boys was. And it was the same way with House of Dragon and Game of Thrones. So
I mean, hell, I mean, I, you know, 5 minutes before that, whenever Damon is cleaning the streets, you
Yeah.
know, with his
That
city
was almost
watch.
more.
Yeah,
Yeah, I
that
forgot
was
about that.
chopping off hands, chopping off,
Yeah.
chopping off a, you know, boy parts. It
Appendages.
was a, yeah. It was yes, it was pretty, it was in your face.
Yeah, what so you know, I kind of touched on the tournament and like you know, you kind of see it as it's like built up, and for if you go into the show knowing nothing, if you didn't know it whenever they go to the streets, when you get to the tournament, you realize that okay, Damon's kind of an a-hole. Like Damon's
Damon
just
is
a
very
jerk.
much the Jamie Lannister of this story.
Ah,
Like,
yes.
you're
Said that. I
gonna
love
hate
Damon.
him, but you're also gonna love him by the end of it all.
Yeah, he's gonna be the conflicting character on here. He's gonna be the one that you don't like, but at the same time, he, you know, has that anti-hero kind of vibe to him, where you're gonna like some of what he does, you're gonna not like a lot of what he does, but then you're gonna kind of understand why he does it.
Yeah, he's definitely got the charisma. Like you could tell, like, you know, they picked a really good actor for this. I think Chelsea said that he was in The Crown.
Yeah, he was in The Crown and he was terrible and annoying in The Crown.
So hey, he's continuing on there. Let me kick it to you, Alex. What was your, I guess, highlight of this show? If you could pick, like, whether it's a character, whether it's a moment, a scene that stands out, like, what was your highlight for the show?
My highlight for the show, man, you know, like it's not really a highlight because damn, it was visceral. But like, you know, at the beginning of the show, whenever Emma says that the was the child what did you say the child bed is a woman's battlefield. Like whenever they showed like the scene of them having to perform basically what's a C-section, but without any anesthetic or without anything like that, like they did a great job of shooting that and seeing like the complete horror that was, you know, just the complete, you know, holy crap, like this is, you know,
I
people,
couldn't
this
even
happened
look.
back in the past, you know, it was either you lose both or you save the baby. And so, you know, that was very visceral. That was very Games of Thrones-ish for them to show something so realistic like that. And just kind of like, you know, Viserys was, you know, he's that guy that you know bad stuff is gonna happen to him. Like you can already kind of tell, like whenever they're focusing in on that scar, that scab in the back on his back, that little wound, you can kind of tell that that's kind of leading probably to like his health failing in the future. You know, he's constantly getting cut on the Iron Throne. And so yeah, I mean just kind of seeing the but just seeing the machinations again. That's what I love about Game of Thrones. That's what I love about the series, about the franchise, is just seeing all the machinations happening around just like a central character and seeing how those machinations are going to affect that central character.
It's funny you talk about like him getting cut on the throne because I feel like there's a point for him and his brother Damon that like really showcases their hubris, and like I feel like you know with him like constantly or not constantly but you know like here recently like he's starting to get cut more and more by the Iron Throne. I feel like it could be symbolic of like you know maybe something that Damon was saying has a point. Like there you know I would save you from yourself because you know you're not fit to be a king. You don't like you know the decisions you make like you know that's it you know that's not it's not good. Like you know that's not what needs to
He's
happen.
a peacetime king, not a wartime king.
And so like as you know as wounds start to come I guess and as wounds start to come to his kingdom. You know, he's starting to panic a little bit. And I think it isn't indicative. And then on the other side, Damon, you know, like I said, he's the a-hole. He's the jerk. Like, obviously, like you guys said, he's the anti-hero. He thought that he won in that battle with Kristen Cole. And, you know, he's got his arms spread out like She-Hulk saying Captain America, fuh. And, you know, he's celebrating. And it was in that moment, like his hubris, like it's that's why he lost the duel with Kristen Cole, because he decided to, you know, show off. Like he decided to let his pride get the best of him. So I really like the not dichotomy, I guess the synonymous nature of, you know, their hubris being shown at that point. But Chelsea, let's go to you. What was your highlight of the show? If you could pick just one, because you loved everything start to finish.
I liked, like, at the very end when Viserys and Rhaenyra were in the dungeon or whatever, and he mentioned the prophecy, because if you know, that was, it's a prophecy that's been passed down from Targaryen to Targaryen, but they don't really mention that in the show of Game of Thrones. You get like little hints of like fire and blood, fire and blood, or fire and ice, fire and ice, fire and ice, but they don't really ever say like, oh, this is something that Targaryens have told other, you know, over the years. And then
you got to remember that by the time Game of Thrones starts, most of the Targaryen dynasty is completely dead or exiled.
The prophecy is almost entirely forgotten about, but that is like really the like heart of the story of Game of Thrones, because Rhaegar believed that his firstborn son was going to be, or was, the prince that was promised, but we all know it turned out to be Jon.
Aegon. So,
yeah, also Aegon. His firstborn son was named Aegon as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, the prophecy was always a Targaryen will unite the realms against the cold and the dark.
Yep.
And so it was really cool to see them say it, and then you can, you know, put all the pieces together.
Yeah, it wasn't even just that. Like, you know, if I'm talking about my highlight, and, you know, like I said, I haven't like dove deep into the mythos of the show. Like, you know, what I know about this show, I've learned from Game of Thrones, and I really appreciated all the connections that it had to the old show for viewers like me who are casuals. It's like, oh, I'm here because of Game of Thrones. You know, starting in the beginning when it has the text after the Great Council that says, you know, this happened so-and-so years before.
It was 173.
Okay, 173, I got you.
172.
This man took notes. You know, before the Mad King had Daenerys Targaryen, and then it, you know, faded out, and it was 173 years before Daenerys Targaryen. And, you know, obviously, like Chelsea was talking about with the prophecy, and, you know, winter is coming and the White Walkers, I was like, I know that. Like, you know, I'm the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the TV meme. Like, I'm like, I see what they did there. And, I mean, even just name drops, like, I mean, you saw Rickon Stark, you know, Ned Stark's descendant for House Stark. There was a name drop when they was talking about the lineage of Kristen Cole. I think that they said the name Dondarrion, and I was like, Barry Dondarrion.
I don't think that's the same Dondarrion.
I mean, there can't be two different Dondarrion names. I'm not saying it's the same guy. I'm saying it's this, like, that's the same, like, family.
Maybe.
I think he was saying that, it doesn't matter, but I don't think it's related.
There was a,
but you can prove me wrong. I just don't think it is.
Maybe. I think it was a Boba or Baba Baratheon.
Yeah, there was a Baratheon.
Yeah, and I thought it was funny whenever they were talking about the Baratheon, because I guess he was, you know, a little bit cocky, and they were like, you know, tongues will not change the succession. Let them wag. And I thought it was funny because ironic, because, you know, when you see Game of Thrones and you're introduced to Game of Thrones, the succession has kind of stopped right there, and Baratheon's, you know, Robert Baratheon has taken over because he defeated Aegon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, we start off the show, like I said, in the Great Council, and I said to Chelsea, I was, oh, like, you know, I saw the big room. I was like, is that the Red Keep? Like, is that King's Landing, or is that Dragonstone? Then they said Harrenhal. And, you know, from the show Game of Thrones, like when we see Harrenhal, it's in ruins. Like it's what's left of Harrenhal. And, but like, you know, if you like go back and like look and like see what happens, like Harrenhal was like built to be this just impenetrable fortress. And, you know, I'm not going to give spoilers, but there's a reason it becomes into ruins. I'm really excited to see that. So the foreshadowing was exciting on that front. But Alex, you know, I talked about the CGI and, you know, it I didn't like, and not that I didn't like it, it's just like, you know, it stuck out to me. Aside from HBO Max streaming issues, if you had to point to a low note, what would you say was kind of your low note?
My low note. I mean, I really enjoyed the show. I mean, I really enjoyed the episode. My low note was probably, you know, oh, Hightower pimping out his daughter there, being like, "Hey, go ahead and put on your mom's dress and go visit Viserys, grieving Viserys over there, and you know, tell him stories." And I mean, so I mean, if you've read up on this book or this story, you kind of know what's going to happen after that, and then you kind of know the conflict that's going to come into play with these two friends, you know, that you see the friendship in this episode, but you know that that is going to probably change as the series goes on. And I'm talking about Rhaenyra and Alicent
Allison,
Hightower.
yeah.
Yeah, and so you know that is, you know, that relationship is going to completely change, and it may actually be the crux of the conflict in this series.
Yep. I got you, man. Yeah, that I had just asked Chelsea. I was like, so, you know, Allison like feels like she's up to no good, and she's like, oh yeah, she sucks. And I was like, and her dad, she's like, yeah, he sucks too. So, oh, and he was like,
Yeah.
she
They're very
actually gets with
much.
him. And I was like, oh. And then like the very next
Well,
scene,
don't give stuff away. Some people don't know things.
well, I'm
Well, they
sorry.
listen to this. They better have. They better have watched the episode.
You better know a
I
little
mean,
bit.
well, anyway, what I was gonna say is Otto is like he wants to be Tywin so bad. Tywin doesn't exist yet, but like he wants to be that like person that moves the chess pieces so strategically, but he's actually like a freaking moron. And then Allison is just his pawn, but like she plays the game 10 times better than he ever could.
See, it's funny that you draw like a parallel between, you know, that and Game of Thrones in terms of like two characters, because to me, like from what I know of him, Viserys kind of feels like Robert Baratheon in terms of like he's kind of, you know, he's enjoying what he's doing, like he's enjoying being king, you know, for what it is, but he doesn't understand anything about what's going on behind the scenes.
See, I don't think
He
he
doesn't
wants, he
understand the
didn't want
game.
to be the king. He kind of like, I mean, you know, none of the Targaryens are ever like, oh, I would hate being the king. But he didn't, he wasn't like, yeah, pick me. He's not a pick me guy like Daemon. He,
I mean, it was Rain, what's her name? Rhaenys?
yeah, Rhaenys. Yeah, it
And
should have been
Rhaenys, yeah,
her.
she's the one that
It
wanted.
wasn't. And he was kind of just like, well, okay, now I gotta do it. He almost, to me, feels more like Ned, because Ned wasn't the older brother. He didn't really ever want to be the leader, but he ended up having to be, and he did the best he could with being, you know, the cards he was dealt. But like, that was never his role. He was never really meant to be like, almost like John, even also, like, John was never meant to be like, Rob was meant to be the older brother. Rob was meant to be the head of the house, but then it ended up being John, and he just did the best that he could. But sometimes those people that aren't meant to be are the best for the roles, and sometimes they're not.
And like Ned, I see Viserys's morality coming into conflict with his ability to be king on the Iron Throne.
Yep, that's a good point as well. I wanted to ask you guys, do you have anything else that like you really want to talk about in terms of the show, or you want to move on to, we asked a couple of Twitter questions. We have some of those, and I also have a question I want to ask you guys before we end the show.
So just I know that Corlys Velaryon, the let's see, the head of seas or ships or something like that. He's married to Rhaenys. I know that he mentioned a guy like a pirate that I believe I think they called him the crab crab feeder or something like that.
What a
I
name.
do believe. Have something like that. I do believe that he's going to be like one of the bigger villains coming up here in the next couple episodes, and it's going to be pretty awesome to see like some ship fighting, some aquatic battles going on with this. But yeah, that's going to be fun to see.
Yeah, they set the bar high with the Iron Fleet and everything that came with it. So, yeah, I'm with it, man. Chelsea, what about you? Do you have anything you wanted to add before we move on to questions?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, without further ado, let's jump into the questions. So, as I pull up the account here, because I have so many freaking accounts. All right.
I think somebody is smoking weed outside. Just saying.
Hey, nice.
Sorry.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So, Stephen Dolan at Steve Thunderfan asked the question, was it good? And you know, I think this is a good transition to our rating scale that we did in last episode. So from two thumbs up to two thumbs down, you got a thumb down, a thumb up, and a neutral in between. Let's start with Chelsea. Chelsea, what is your rating for the first episode of House of Dragon?
It gets a thumbs up.
A thumbs up from Chelsea. Alex.
Nice. I mean, it gets a thumbs up, you know, because the thing is, two thumbs up is like Battle of the Bastards,
Yes.
Watchers on the Wall, you know, those types of episodes. So this one gets a thumbs up. We're not there yet. We haven't seen an episode of that caliber yet. But I will say this, I love the way Miguel Sapochnik directs. Like he did Battle of the Bastards, he did, you know, Watchers on the Wall, he did Hard Home. I just love the way he directed. He directed this first episode.
Hard Home's underrated. I really liked Hard Home. Battle of Bastards undefeated though.
Yeah,
I will
definitely.
hear nothing else about
I mean,
it.
so my favorite episode is the children. This I think that was the season finale for season three. That's my favorite episode, the one where they kill Tywin.
Oh
But
yeah, it's a
yeah.
good one.
Oh
It's always a good
yeah.
episode when someone you really want to die finally dies.
Sean Boy's taking a dump, bro. That's crazy.
Hey.
I love it. All right. Yeah, I'll give it a thumbs up. You know, obviously we got to leave room for improvement. I mean, CGI is like the main takeaway for me, and I hate to harp on it, but as soon as I saw it, like, I mean, it was too much for me, man. And like I said, you know, there's obviously room for improvement because I said that Meraxes?
Raxis?
Is it Meraxes with
No,
an
I think
M?
it's a C.
Xerxes? Okay. We will figure this
Harax.
out.
I'm gonna look it up right
Chelsea, you can look
now.
it up. When we saw him, I thought he looked a lot better than Cyrax did. So I think that
I really do think
changed
it
for the
is
better.
just the coloring of
Yeah.
Cyrax.
Well, I
I think it's
mean,
difficult.
listen, they got the money to fix it, man. Like, it shouldn't look like a video game. That's all I gotta say.
I just think it's light on light. Like when you do a daytime scene like that, and you have a yellowish goldish dragon, it's light on light. When you do Xerxes, he's black. He's black and red, and so you kind of have that contrast when it comes to the background.
Yep, that's fair. All right, man. I'm gonna get to our next question from at Thunder Hot Takes and says, is George R.R. Martin involved with it at all? We did answer this, but you know, can confirm George R.R. Martin, if I am
Is
not
very
mistaken.
involved.
Yeah, very involved. Like, he's working hand in
He's
hand with them.
Caraxes.
So,
Yeah,
yes.
Caraxes. Yeah, he's EP. He's an executive producer along with Dan Conlon.
Yeah, so no go in Rogan this one. I think he did say he's worried because of the way GOT ended up, which I don't hate it as much as some people do. You know, I wasn't there for the week and the year long, so I get it.
My biggest question always has been, if we knew that the Game of Thrones, like the books were not done, why didn't we start here? This was a finished story. And then that would have given him so much time to finish the books. And then we could have done Game of Thrones. And then a lot more things might have made sense with the ending, yes, which I didn't hate the ending either. But
yeah, I mean, yes and no, because, I mean, Gurren saw this coming and he still didn't write the end of the story. Like, he knew 6-7 years in advance what was going to happen, and so he still didn't finish the story. So that's the good thing about this story, is that this story is done. He's already written this story, and so there should be nothing to interpretation that does not have his permission on this. You know, he's not. Yeah. They're not gonna freestyle without his consent.
Yeah, absolutely. And we got one more question before we get into my final question. So at Sublime 50 OS1, you know, for those of you guys that don't know, me and Alex are part of a Thunder podcast, Topic Thunder. So this merges our two podcasts. And this question says, which current Thunder player would you pick to joust and why? Who are you avoiding at all costs? I'm going to go to Chelsea, because Chelsea knows the Thunder players. You know the ones that you would pick for a joust. Come on.
I know who I would not pick.
Okay, who are you not picking?
Why did I just forget his name?
Oh, Chelsea.
Skinny guy.
Which one?
The Grim Reaper. I call him both.
Kevin Durant?
No.
Oh, Poku.
Yeah. Him.
Okay, yeah. He's the easy answer, absolutely, for avoiding.
I don't know who I would actually pick. Probably Dort.
That was my choice. I was absolutely going to pick Dort. Dude is swole, he's strong, and he's fearless. That's what I got to say. Alex, do you agree?
I do agree. So let me ask you, let's go historical Thunder players. What would I think a joust between Lou Dort and Russell Westbrook would be amazing.
Russell Westbrook would trip Dort's horse just like Damon Targaryen. Absolutely would trip Dort's horse.
I could definitely see Russell Westbrook pandering to the crowd, and then he gets, you know, taken down.
Yeah, I could also see like Dort knocking Westbrook off his horse, and Westbrook's like, nah, give me my sword. This ain't over.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Russell Westbrook Damon Targaryen? Is that what we're getting at?
He is. He definitely is.
All right, just kind of keeping a fandom, before we go to my question. If you could pick any fandom character for a joust, who would it be? I've got somebody while you guys think. I'm taking Captain America. I mean, dude, stout. He's got super
speed. He has a
vibranium shield. I mean, you have a shield in a joust.
Yeah, but not everyone has a vibranium.
Well, sorry. That's who I pick. He's got the vibranium shield. He's fearless. He's going to take the dude, and he has honor. He's not going to be tripping no horses. That's all.
I'm going for Wolverine because he can't die. And nice. He doesn't even need a jousting stick. He's just got claws.
Okay. I like it.
I'm going with Donatello from the Ninja Turtles.
Donatello. He's got experience.
He has the shell, so he already has armor. How to work with a bow. So I'm pretty sure, you know, going from a bow, a joust, you know, the javelin sword or whatever it's called, doesn't take that much of a leap. And so I think he would be an expert at that. So Donatello.
The Ninja Turtle pool. I love it. I love it.
Yes.
All right. My final question before we end this podcast. And I think we're going to expand it as we go week by week, because, you know, House of Dragon will be week by week, but starting this week, we're going to talk about us. So if we were in a Game of Thrones house, what would it be? And I'll start with Chelsea because I already know she knows hers.
I don't know. I don't. I thought about this when you asked me earlier, and I don't know. Like, I want to say Targaryen, but I also want to say Stark.
I think you're a lot more Targaryen than Stark.
Oh, shit.
It's
I mean,
because
okay.
she's got a vengeful side to her.
Like, I like to think of myself more as like Sansa. Like, I will hurt you if I have to, theoretically, but like, you're not gonna know my cards. Like, I'm not a Dany where I'm just like blind rage.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
But, you know, to each their own. I do prefer the Targaryen, so.
About you, Alex?
So I'm gonna say, so me and my kids have taken to playing Monopoly here lately,
Okay.
and they hate playing with me because I become so cutthroat. Like, they know me as dad, they love me as dad,
Know where this
and
is
you
going.
know, I'm nice, but when I play Monopoly, damn it, I'm buying properties, I'm putting houses, I'm putting hotels, and damn it, if you land on it, I'm not making any deal with you paying me my damn money. And so I think I would probably go with House Lannister.
Yep, that's where I saw
But
it going as you did that.
without the incest part, which every damn house, it seems like in Game of Thrones has some sort of incestual thing going on. But yeah. House
Yeah,
Lannister. A Lannister always pays his debts.
I think it goes without saying we're all free of incest in this hypothetical. I think I'm going House Stark just because. Oh, Chelsea's got something to say already. You're cool with
Dylan's a
House Stark?
Jon Snow simp.
Oh, I love Jon Snow. Jon Snow is one of my favorite characters in all of all of
A
characters.
Jon Snow stan.
I love Jon Snow and I love
Yeah.
Robb Stark too, man. Like Robb and Jon are like probably my two favorite characters in the show. So yeah, I really like them. And it's not just because I like them. Like, I feel like I would try, like if I was in that world and I was forced to like, learn how to fight at a young age, like those are the kind of characters that I would, see myself trying to be like, because I exude main character energy, obviously. So
Hey, speaking of incest, if you
Lord.
felt
How is that ever a sentence?
hey, that's a transition right there. That's how we do it here on Topic Fandom. But speaking of incest, if you felt sort of uncomfortable watching Damon put the necklace on Rhaenyra, just hold that feeling, because
Yeah.
it's
It's a
gonna
thing,
creep
though.
up here later. It's a
Yeah, it's
thing.
a
It's a
thing.
thing. So
Oh.
just keep that feeling, with you,
Dylan
because
doesn't know
it's
anything.
gonna play a part. I
He's
mean,
not
would you, I
prepared.
mean, did you, so did you not feel anything whenever she met him in the throne room, and he was putting the necklace on her?
Yeah, no,
Like,
it
there
felt
was
weird. I was gonna ask the
a there,
question to Chelsea,
exactly.
but
Well, and then at the tournament too, he comes up to talk to her, but then he asks for Allison's token just to be a jerk to Otto. But
yeah.
then you see a little bit of Rhaenyra being like, I didn't like that very much. Like, I thought you were gonna ask for my token.
She jelly.
But
She.
then she gives hers to Christian Cole, so.
Yep.
Yep. And that's also a thing, right?
That is also a thing, but not a
This is
good thing.
also a thing. There's a lot of things
She
going
has a lot of things going on.
on. Awesome. We're back in the world, guys. We're knee deep in Westeros. It's gonna be a fun time. So, yeah. So, guys, that is our first episode recap of House of Dragon. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, find us anywhere you listen to our podcast. We are now 100% available. Apple
Meow.
Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, what have you. Search Topic Fandom Podcast, and you should find us. Find us on Twitter at Topic hyphen fandom, is that correct, or is it underscore fandom?
Underscore.
Underscore, of course. At topic underscore fandom, definitely give us a follow so you can see when our podcasts are posted and when we ask for questions, so your question can be featured on the podcast. But until next time, on behalf of myself, Chelsea, and Alex, hope you guys have a great night. God bless. And
Jacarez. Nerd up.
Nerd up.